Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
B-Pod Studios.
Tub.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
How is this scenario of it possibly being Brady's last home game being viewed around the organization?
Well, Greeny, you know, I talked with someone directly involved in that situation, and they said it truly is a wait-and-see type of situation. There's been no contract talks since August when they reached that revised deal, and Bill Belichick has a saying to his players at this time of year. He says, put it all in the drawer. Nothing else is important other than the football game we're about to play. So we could say that Tom Brady's future with the Patriots is in the drawer and probably at the top of the pile in that drawer. So you go in the locker room, Greeny, the players aren't talking about it. Maybe the one thing they were willing to talk about with Brady was the electric scooters that he gave his offensive linemen for holiday gifts.
All right, Mike Reese there, ESPN with Greenberg. The no contract discussion since the summer. So that we had that call. When do you think this thing flipped with Brady? And I think it was last offseason when he didn't get the contract. And he sort of changed his tune, and nothing has changed since then. And that's that.
And that's where you got go ask Mr. Kraft. The attitude completely changed for Tom Brady in the summer after that whole contract squabble. So I think I'm with you. I think that's when all that really changed.
Okay, so I don't think this will be the last game, because I do think the Patriots win on Saturday. You know, I don't think that's any lock. But I do think they win on Saturday, so I don't think this is the last game. But if I'm wrong, and I'm always wrong when I try to pick games, then, we're getting the ball rolling. And I said to open the show, just like we did in the middle of December before I went away on the break, I did.
Yeah, this whole show was like Requiem for Brady.
It was a Brady show because I said, I'm not going to be here the last 2 weeks. I think they're going to win these last two games. I think they're going to have the bye. I think we're going to be, talking about this team on a deep run. I think they're going to the Super Bowl. But if I'm wrong, this is the last show. I'm going to be talking about Brady, going into the playoffs. And it turns out I was wrong. It turns out they couldn't, close a deal against Miami. So I think they're in the same spot here. I expect us to be talking about Kansas City next week. But if I'm wrong, if they lose this game, we're going to be talking about something else.
Yeah, better to get ahead of it.
So we're getting ahead of it. That's the deal. Your thoughts on this? And I also, and I said before, I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but I'm rooting for them to do it. I think that would be a great story. I would love to see them go on a run. One last time. One last kick at the can. The old man, Brady, one last time. Brady and Belichick's last stand. Blah, blah, blah. Throw all those corny cliche things at me. I'll eat them up. I will lap them up. It'd be a tremendous story.
Inject that right into my veins right now.
Right?
Oh, my God. How good would that be?
It'd be tremendous.
Yeah, and I, too, am rooting for that. But we can't actually say that that's going to happen because we have all signed the Declaration of Doneness. Pass that over to you, Mike.
I don't think it's going to happen, and I've signed that away. It is the Declaration of Doneness. Has Maz filed the DocuSign yet?
Again, he sent some email this morning because he's away, on a different time zone.
So what?
No, I know.
They don't have the internet in England?
He's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Where am I supposed to sign? Like, you of all people.
Please.
You don't know where to sign. You don't have an app for this.
Of course he has an app. Of course he has an app.
Right, he's riding the fence again.
Yep.
So we got Jimmy Stewart to sign. We'll see if Sosie signs. Sosie, you want to sign the Declaration of Doneness?
Got a Sharpie ready for Sosie.
He just screamed no.
We got a space ready for you over here. So that's what
the Declaration of Dunceness?
You stand by. You got 10 minutes, then you're in here. So I think they're done. I hope I'm wrong. And I hope they go on a run. That would be a tremendous story.
And given the history of the Patriots and especially what they did last year, I can understand why a Patriots fan is confident, even though they lost to Miami, because that potential path to the Super Bowl is currently Ryan Tannehill on the road tomorrow night, followed by the horrid playoff history of the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid decision-making. And if they end up with the Bills somehow, if they upset and they're hosting them for the AFC Championship game, well, again, it's the Bills here, and Brady's 32 and 3.
Let me ask you. If that happens, if the Ravens get tripped up by the Bills and you're hosting the AFC title game against the Bills, am I allowed to void this?
No.
Because they're going to beat the Bills and they have the championship game.
They're going to beat the Bills and they'll go to the Super Bowl.
Right, but
it's too late. Nope.
You can't take it back?
You've signed your fate just like I have.
There's no way to retroactively go back?
It will be a blind to remember.
I'm rooting for it. I'll take it. I've had teams in town make commercials about me and my wrongness. I can take it. I'd be happy to be wrong because I think that would be a tremendous story. A great story. Much better than them petering out tomorrow night and Brady retiring. Okay, which I think is going to happen. not tomorrow night, at least in Kansas City.
Yeah, they ain't losing tomorrow night.
I don't think they're losing tomorrow night. But anyway, so there's just a reset of some of our opening takes. What are yours? James in Worcester. Go ahead, James.
Go ahead and put me down to sign that declaration of doneness, my friends. You see, the problem is all the Patriots fans, I'm from Worcester. I'm a big Titans fan, by the way. It's just so much living in the past. You guys don't look at the present. Right now, Tom Brady is playing more like Vinny Testaverde at age 42, 43 than Tom Brady. We had a guy maybe 40 minutes ago talk about, 2006, the wild card game. Oh, Tom was 30 years old back then. And look at Ryan Tannehill. You guys keep scoffing at this guy. If he had started the whole season, he would guaranteed be MVP.
Okay, let me stop you right there, James. Should we be scoffing at Ryan Tannehill?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
For 10 weeks, he's been arguably the best quarterback in football.
He's beaten the Patriots 4 times in his career. That's pretty good.
All in Miami, but yeah. just go
minor
in the last...
detail. Doesn't help my agenda.
Just go in the last 10 weeks. He's been a top 3 quarterback the last 10 weeks.
He has, again, but I laid it out for you. If you look at their wins, like last week was kind of a fake win because you're playing Houston's JV squad. They're 4 road games.
I have a hard time accepting this because every time we do this with the Patriots, people lose their freaking minds. So does strength of schedule matter or not, Patriots fans? Please, please. I'm just begging you for a little bit of consistency, just a tiny bit. I'm not yelling at you, Murray, but, you know, if you're telling me Ryan Tannehill's stats are fake, then all yours are fake, too, because of your stupid easy schedule. You got this easiest schedule in the league.
You're projecting, because I believe that as well with the Patriots. Their record this year
is they're both frauds. Tannehill's a fraud and the Patriots are a fraud.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
At least you're consistent.
Yeah.
Everybody sucks.
Especially defensively. They are a bunch of frauds. All these trumped up numbers that they have this year because you're playing the likes of the Washington Redskins.
Fine.
And the Jets early.
Don't tell me your defense is real, but Ryan Tannehill is not. You got to keep it consistent. Either they both beat up on lousy competition or they're both legit, right? So you're telling me they're both fake.
Yeah.
The Patriots' defense is fake. Ryan Tannehill is fake.
Of these two fake teams, tomorrow night, the Patriots have the better fake team.
Okay, but that's fine. At least you're consistent. You can't tell me the Patriots are this thing and Ryan Tannehill's not when they both beat up on lousy competition. So you just, like, that would drive me nuts. You know, because we'll bring up strength of schedule and who they've beaten and Patriots fans. Oh, my God, the howling, the crying, the charts and the spreadsheets that you people send me every time we bring up the AFC East and the schedule. But you're more than happy to dump on an upcoming opponent's easy schedule. Like, it matters for them, but not for you. Like, I have a hard time with that one, Murray. Drew in New Hampshire. Hi, Drew. Yeah, what's up? What's up, Drew?
All right, so I'm going to say everyone's tossing their hat in for where Brady's going to go, either to the Chargers where they're losing, you know, Phillip Rivers or a crappy quarterback like the Miami, whatever. My thought is you guys kind of blew up my spot before where McDaniels and him are not tied at the hip, but the opening position in Cleveland, McDaniels takes it, trades Baker Mayfield to the New England Patriots, second round pick, Tom Brady signs. He gets his weapons, his number one fan,
True.
OBJ.
Okay, I hear you. I'm not buying that scenario on a lot of levels, not the least of which is Brady's not going to Cleveland.
Right. You had just in these kind of scenarios, while it might make sense from a football standpoint, you have to factor in Giselle and the family. And Giselle is not going to move to some mid-market hellhole like Cleveland.
Exactly. Okay, so to me, it's been L.A. and Miami. If you want to throw in a third one just to have some fun, you know, I wouldn't be the first to say it. Go ahead.
So Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Okay. Yeah. They're fine. Like, what if you're Jerry Jones, wouldn't you say, and again, let's leave the Brady-McDaniels relationship to the side. Let's assume Brady and Josh are good. Let's just for the sake of this. Hire McDaniels, hire Casario, bring in Brady, don't overpay Dak Prescott, who's up, and there you go, Dallas. Now, I don't see Giselle in Texas, but I
that's a big city, though. It's
but I can
lively.
Pick, you know, the Cowboys are a brand befitting of Tom Brady.
Yep.
Right? Where he's not lowering himself to be a Cleveland Brown or a Chicago Bear or a Minnesota Viking. I just don't see that. Or even an L.A. Charger, for that matter. You know, like, Brady and the Cowboys, at least there's
juice.
Contemporaries there in terms of brand and juice and all of that. So you want to play with it, you can play with that one. I'm not playing with Minnesota. I'm not playing with Cleveland. I'm not playing with Chicago. I don't think those are – or Tennessee is another one.
Yeah, that was another one I threw around, you know, months back.
Bill is telling you, I've not only hit the turn, I'm on the last couple of holes of this golf course.
I'm rooting for you, Colin. I'm rooting for Brady to the Cowboys. That would be a good one. Rick in Cambridge. Hi, Rick.
Yeah, so everybody's real quick, you know, to say this is the end of the Brady era. But like, as you were just talking about, where is he? If he retires, then yes, that's the end. But what team is really going to have the money to take him, given his performance this year? And is going to be a team where he is going to want to go to and win immediately.
Okay,
on top of that,
well,
and just my other question then, on top of that, is Belichick really going to divorce himself from Brady without a good plan B?
Maybe he thinks he has a good plan B. Maybe he likes Stidham. Maybe he just thinks, give me any.
What does Belichick do next? He's going to retire.
give me just Joe Average. Whoever Joe Average is. Joe Average could be Jared Stidham. You know, I always say Alex Smith. Whatever. Whatever the average. If Belichick may say to himself, you just give me Joe Average, who will play the offense that we give him, throw to the guy we tell him to throw to, take care of the ball. And we're still going to win our 11-12 games in this lousy division and then get me to the playoffs and we'll see what happens. And so...
Yeah, especially if he feels confident enough in his defense, too. Yeah,
that I think, is his plan. That, you know what? That's what I want his plan to be. I want it to be Jared Stidham. Because, you know what? I think to me the whole point is to save all that money on that position, reset the whole position, do it with someone that you are grooming from the ground up. I don't want him to bring in Bridgewater or
Nick Foles.
I don't know. Some guy who's
Andy
been in the
Dalton,
right. AJ McCarron, guys who've been in the league for a long time. And
yeah, if you're going to reset, go with the guy you drafted. I'm with you on that.
And just mold, you know, like mold your next quarterback like you would mold your next young assistant and bring him. So that's Jared Stidham is what I want.
Clunker.
Is K? Fine. Jared Stidham's fine. And then just run the offense and get better as the season goes on and win on defense and beat up on the bum teams and win at home and. You know, you'll contend. You'll be there. That's what I think they're... That's what I want
the
them to do.
The end is near.
Okay? I don't think the end is near, Colin. That's what I want the plan to be. On the other side, do you know how much cap space is available out there, people? I mean, do you have any idea? And I'm not just telling you... And I'm not telling you these are fits for Brady, but just...
Well, what's the Chargers?
Okay, the Colts have $96 million in cap space. And this never gets spent because the cap's a big ball of bullcrap. All right? But if you're worried about cap space and you're thinking about this... The Colts have $96 million. The Dolphins have $94 million in cap space. The Buccaneers have $91. The Cowboys have $81 million in cap space, according to overthecap.com. $81 million, even they.
So Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Oakland has $70 million in cap space. The Broncos have $60 million in cap space. Tennessee has $57 million in cap space. The Chargers have $56 million in cap space. The Chargers could sign Tom Brady for $30 million guaranteed and still have $26 million left over to play with their football team, which is already plenty talented.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many holes they have on top of quarterback. There's a ton of cap space out there for Brady.
Defense,
a ton.
Some offensive weapons there. Good fit.
Okay, there's so if I think a team, I think certain teams would be smart to do. I think Tom would be a smart move for some of these teams. Bob Sosi standing by. We'll get to him right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Zellgrass, 95, the Sports Hub.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
to www.best40.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Five, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mez.
First and goal for the Bats. Brady drops back. Play fake. Sets up. Lobs the throw from Lacoste. Reaches up. Reaches it down. Into the end zone. Left corner. Touchdown. Patriots.
That's a big boy counter drive right there. This crowd is lit. They talked about sense of urgency throughout the week. Approach practice like it's a game. These are the playoffs right here. You win, you continue on. What a drive. 8-yard touchdown off a fantastic play-action fake to the tailback. Brady sets his feet and throws a beauty to the back shoulder of Matt Lacoste, who turns and gets the 8-yard touchdown.
It's time for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Sosie.
We got no Maz.
Come on, Murray.
No, this is Maz's bit. We'll leave it for him.
Yeah! Let's go, Bobby! I can't do it. I can't do it justice. That's Bob Sosie on the call. It is time now for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Sosie, the voice of the Patriots. He's brought to you by Coors Light, the official beer of football Sundays. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made for playoff football. It's made to chill. We played a cut from 2 weeks ago against Buffalo.
Here we go.
Here we go, Mass. You ready?
There it is.
It's smoky in here, Mass.
Yep.
Oh, man. Here we go. Get a feel. There's a little taste for it. We played the one from 2 weeks ago because I want to start by asking you, after we get you to sign the Declaration of Dundas.
Yes.
But I do want to start by asking you, what happened to Brady from 2 weeks ago to last week? That flip, because that I thought it was right for everyone to say that that was vintage Brady against the Bills, vintage Brady against the Bills. And then last week was one of the worst games I've seen him play. So what happened in those 6 to 8 days?
Yeah, I thought he was really sharp versus Buffalo. I thought the offense was much different, the approach, the personnel groupings. We saw a lot of the two backs in the backfield, the shifting to the wings with Burkhead and White, some things we hadn't seen previously from this offense this year. The ball distribution was terrific. I think multiple targets to 9 guys, multiple completions to 7 or 8 of them. Against a Bills defense that really had posed problems for him in the past. Now, I think also in that game, Julian Edelman had an impact, you know, early on, and they were able to run the ball well. Edelman had some big catches before he was out. When he came back, he had a big catch. I thought the Bills did some things differently than some of the other teams that have had success against the Patriots of late, including the Dolphins last week, with the way they double-teamed Julian when he was out in pass routes. As a general rule, a lot of the twist, the games up front from their defensive line that they saw from teams like Kansas City, we didn't see necessarily from
Buffalo.
Buffalo had
a bad plan, is what you're saying.
I think the Patriots played exceptionally well, and I think Josh McDaniels had a really good plan. And I also think that the way the Patriots approached that game in practice, not in theory going in, they approached it like it was a playoff game. I don't necessarily think, reflecting on it, or nor did I in the moment last week, and Zoe and I talked about it during the game, that was necessarily the approach last week. Regarding Brady individually, there certainly seemed to be something with the mechanics in the lower half, even on one pass from an end zone shot where he throws it to Mohamed Sanu over the middle and Sanu snags it. It's kind of an open stance throw. And generally when you see Tom, and it's one of the things that always stands out to me, when you watch him play catch and you watch him throw a screen pass in a game, the mechanics are flawless. And so you look at the shoes, You look at the movement, as Mike Girardi mentioned in his question, his preamble to the question with Tom yesterday, running in place, running along the sideline between series. Those are things we hadn't seen, the white shoes, or you know that particular you know warm-up activity, whatever it was.
Well, it felt like he was trying to keep something loose,
yeah,
right?
So it raises questions along with the performance, and he's flatly denied, of course, that there's anything physically wrong.
Defensively last week, and specifically Stephon Gilmore, was that do you feel like that was a one-off, or did they figure something out that Tennessee might be able to take advantage of tomorrow night?
I think it's a one-off, but I also know that Tennessee's had success against Gilmore as recently as last year in Week 10, and you know Parker's a terrific receiver. I just didn't think that the game had the intensity that you would expect of a quote-unquote again playoff game. And it won't have it didn't have the intensity that tomorrow is going to have, nor did it have the intensity that Buffalo had, not by any means.
Doesn't that surprise you then?
It did surprise me a bit. It surprised me, and I thought that you know the thing about Stephon going against Parker, there's one play in particular that you know was telling to me. There's a play that Parker made a catch on, and then he turned and I mean he barreled over Gilmore.
Oh yeah,
tackle on the sideline,
trucked him.
Gilmore's a pretty aggressive tackler. And there was a play later in the game where Parker made a catch on him, and it looked like Gilmore was trying to vent some frustration while stripping the football. And I think that's probably what we're going to see a lot more of tomorrow against the Titans than what we saw last week. I just thought there was a passiveness. I ran into a former defensive player after the game. He was just there to watch the game. And he said it looked to him you know, almost as if, not accusing them of playing not to get hurt, but it had that appearance. There wasn't that intensity.
They felt like they could just show up.
And I think also you have to wonder, were they holding some things back? I know Zoe talked about it earlier today. You know, we didn't see as many linebackers walking up over the A gap and doing as much.
Well, if that's the case, that's dumb.
You know, until
to pee away a bye, it's too important.
But the other thing too, Mike, is that you have to give the Dolphins credit. I think Flores, O'Shea had great game plans. Graham, not to take anything away from Patrick, the defensive coordinator, they played really hard, and Ryan Fitzpatrick played great.
He did.
He played great. When they did try to zero blitz, he got rid of the ball quickly. He's a guy that often does not have that quick release. He quickly got rid of the ball, diagnosing what they were doing in that game, and he made some big-time throws.
Okay, Bob Soucy, voice of the Patriots. You'll hear him on the call here tomorrow night on 98.5 The Sports Hub. What's the plan for the Patriots in this game? Does it have to be you load up on Henry and you make Ryan Tannehill come here and beat you?
I think it has to. It always starts with the run first. You have to make, and especially because so much of their success is off of play action. And I know that the analytics people will say that running the ball effectively isn't a necessity to be good in play action, but that's where it starts. Derrick Henry is the guy who makes that offense go. And I think that, you know, Tannehill's had a great year. You can't take anything away from him, but it's the run first for the Titans. They don't throw the ball a lot. They throw it with a purpose. They get a lot of yards per pass attempt, best in the league with Tannehill. The rookie Browns had 20 yards per catch. Even Sharp and Davis have had big numbers like that. But it, I think, is in great part, not only because of their skills, particularly Brown, but it's because they run the ball so effectively.
Okay. Do you think that they – well, the one, do you hold that against Tannehill, though, coming into this game, playoff debut? I mean, he's had a great season,
he has, absolutely, no question.
Do you think that's something that ultimately you know catches up with him?
Well, you know, the thing that, to me is how do the Patriots approach it? And when they've had a lot of success against him here at home, they have really made him look bewildered at the pressure. They've gotten a lot of pressure on him. He's thrown 10 interceptions against 5 touchdowns while at Gillette Stadium. And this is a team that's given up a lot of sacks with 2 mobile quarterbacks. Even though they have an experienced offensive line, they've put a lot of draft capital into the tackle positions in particular, 50-plus sacks this year. And you're talking about Mariota for the first 6 games and Tannehill thereafter, and those are 2 mobile quarterbacks. So I think you can get to him, and the Patriots have had a history of really getting to him here at Gillette. It depends on how they approach things. I think if you know they're aggressive and they do what they do best, I think they can pose problems for Ryan Tannehill.
Okay, Bob, it's time. Hand me the declaration of doneness there, Murray. You got the Sharpie?
Yep.
Bob?
You pick your color.
Do you want it in red, Bob? Black. Got red here,
Murray. We can sign in red or in black. Thy declaration of doneness, Felger and Maz hereby declare the 19 Patriots and their chance to repeat as Super Bowl champions done over kaput. You care to sign?
No. The only thing I want to see signed is Tom Brady's signature on a Patriots contract at the end of the year. But we'll see.
Hot.
But there, I mean, It is the backdrop to this.
You have to address it. You have to address it. Absolutely.
Do you get any sense being down there this week? We ran Brady's press conference on the simulcast in full, so you could see it on TV if you were watching yesterday. I went back and watched it myself because some people had said that Brady was sort of loose and friendly and amenable to the guys there, and one could read it. Tom Curran said this on TV last night that one could read it as Tom sort of recognizing this could be the last. I'm going to have a nice day with you guys. I'm going to take care of you. He spent about 11 minutes at the podium where the last couple weeks he's been out in like two or three. And I went back and watched it myself, and I saw it. I saw what they were talking about. He had a little...
It's like a level of acceptance almost.
But it's just a little glint in his eye. I think you were there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So do you see that?
Well, he was... I think he was a little longer last week, too, reflective as well. He was playful right from the start. He walked in. He was playful with Tom Curran in particular, picked up his phone, asked if it was recording. He was, I think, playful with some of the questions that were asked of him. There was a little bit of... he was having some fun with some of the reporters with what was being asked of him. When somebody asked him about his playoff victories, he said, that's pretty good. I don't think that, and I understand why people are trying to read between the lines, read the body language, read the length of the press conference, the tone of the answers, the length of the answers.
It's all we have here in New England.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's you have to at this point. But I don't know anything. I don't think anybody really knows. I don't know. I'm not sure if Tom Brady really knows what the future holds. I don't think that.
So that's the only thing I don't agree with. I think he knows.
See, but here's my question, though. I mean, how does he know when we're yet to know what the market is?
I think they all know well ahead of time. I think Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant knew they were going to play together in New York for a year. I think LeBron knew he was going to the Lakers. I think all these guys know.
Yeah, I don't think they wait to have these conversations until free agency officially starts.
All right. So where's the scenario? And this is what I go back to is what team is cost value? Okay. And this is assuming that the Belichick and Robert.
I think he's retiring. If you want my opinion, I think he's done.
That's possible. I think it's all possible. It's all possibility.
And he knows it. And it's not going to come down to whether Dingleberry Nick Folk makes the kick or not. People have this sort of vision that if he wins, he retires. If he doesn't, he comes back for more. So you're telling me they're down 2 points in the last game and Nick Folk is there on a 45-yarder. And if it goes in, he plays. If he doesn't, and that's what it comes down to? It's no. These things are – I think there's just big macro life forces that have – you have 99 times out of 100, the guys know, and 99 times out of 100, it's the league telling them they're done, not the players. It's not like it's their choice. But when it's their choice, it's usually decided well before they get to that last game.
So I'm going to take him, though, his word at face value when he says that he wants to continue to play. And look at the landscape. You're talking about fair market value, $34 million. Where's the market?
Chargers, Dolphins, okay. Raiders.
Well, Dolphins possibly. Does the hiring of Chan Gailey?
Yeah,
does that help?
Confuse the crap out of me. Yeah, I don't get that either.
The report from Albert Breer that Brian Flores wants to move away from the Patriots offense. I thought when Chad O'Shea was let go, there was one reporter who speculated that Jerry Shaplinsky was a guy that maybe they wanted to keep and not have him leave. But when Jerry wasn't promoted and it was Chan Gailey who was brought in, a guy with a history with Ryan Tannehill, or with Ryan Fitzpatrick in particular, that maybe they're going to go with a guy who finished the season strong with them, and Brian does indeed want to get away from his
Patriots.
Okay,
but that's not the cost analysis. I think Brady's worth $30 million to at least a half dozen teams in the league.
We're dissecting the way he looked last week. We're doing that. Do you think that all the other football people around the league...
Yeah, if they're smart, they're not just looking at the last game.
I still think he can play.
Me too.
I think what we saw in Buffalo is far more indicative of
injury, not age. I think.
I wonder. And is he going to uproot to go? Say it's the Chargers. He has a son in New York.
My only point, Bob,
go to 3,000 miles away to play for the Chargers.
Whatever it is, it's already been decided. That's my point.
Well, I think here's the thing that I'm going to say is it was probably. I shouldn't say this. That it's probably, but you could infer from what you heard on Tom versus Time in the summer of 2018 that it was decided as well. I know when I left that booth in Minneapolis the night that the Patriots lost to the Philadelphia Eagles, I thought maybe Tom was on his way out. I thought maybe the Patriots would have significant changes. Nobody knew what was in store for the next couple of weeks that Josh McDaniels would stick around, that Bill was indeed going to be the coach here for the foreseeable future, as it now appears, and that Tom Brady would come back and lead the Patriots to a Super Bowl championship. I still go back to the change during the course of that series. I think it's one. The other thing, too, is once the door is opened and push comes to shove, and again, this is assuming he still wants to play and assuming that there will be an opportunity here, you know, is the allure somewhere else, and also the life changes enough to walk away, walk through that door.
Well, that's what we're talking about today, big fella. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
One last chance, Bob.
Yeah, here you go. Declaration of Dundas.
I recommend it in red, Bob. I recommend it in red.
You know what? I'm going to need this in Kansas City next week.
Sosie has the call.
Chiefs colors.
Tomorrow night here on 98.5.
Hot.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Here's the update with McCarthy, and we're
at Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.bestfording.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tom, what has the mood of the locker room been this week for you guys?
Excited and focused. We know we got a big challenge, a very tough test, great football team coming here. So, you know, it's about football, and everyone knows what's at stake. So you certainly have to earn it to move on. You have to play good, and you know, a lot of plays come up over the years when I think about playoff football. And you know, if you're on the wrong end of one of them, you know, it's your season. If you're on the right end, you know, you move on. So you don't know which plays that's going to be, and you can't take anything for granted. So guys are working hard and trying to try to do the right thing.
Again, Brady from yesterday. Agenda Free Friday is brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. We continue with your calls as promised. Kristen's been waiting patiently in Cambridge. Hi, Kristen.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, what do you got?
I just wanted to comment my thoughts on Brady's physical status. I think you guys are absolutely right, and I'm not a betting person, but if I was, I'd put all my money on the fact that he's injured. I'm a sports physical therapist and been treating middle-aged, you know, athletes for years, and his inconsistent play to me just screams that he's injured, not to mention his avoidance during that press conference to explain his physical condition. It's so obvious to me that he's lying. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I mean, I trust you on that. I just don't know how he's so good one week and so bad the other.
Right. I mean, it's just such a juxtaposition between how he played in Buffalo, which was vintage Brady and spreading the ball around. He looked completely healthy, to how he looked last week, where he just looked like over.
And then the shoes come out of nowhere.
Right.
So again, did he injure it in practice during the week? Is there a play against Buffalo that would show it to us? If so, where are the GIFs? Where are the videos? Where are the clips? I mean, you're all...
one of his linemen mistakenly
come on.
Step on him.
So
like that.
Where's the evidence that something happened against Buffalo? Is there any indication that something happened during the week? I don't get that piece to it. Jeff in Plymouth. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Here's a conspiracy theory for you for Palace Q. What if Belichick agrees to step down so McDaniels and Brady stay in New England and he goes to coach in the Giants? And if that doesn't work, what are the chances of Charlie Weiss coming back to be the offensive coordinator when McDaniels leaves? Thanks.
Ooh, Charlie coming back. That's an interesting one. I don't know if Charlie...
Is he doing nothing like Chan Gailey's been doing?
Doing nothing. He was on with us, I say us, he was, well, I guess it was 2 years ago now on NBC Sports Boston doing the Patriots postgame shows. I know he did some satellite radio. He's been doing media stuff.
Yeah, and he said last year at the Super Bowl with Zolak and Bertrand that he could see himself coming back to be an offensive coordinator for, say, a young coach or something, you know, where he's the guy who takes over the offense and only in special circumstances. This could be a special circumstance, right? I know it's not a young coach, but hey, you know, you're familiar with Brady. I don't hate the idea.
That's an interesting thought. But that other thing.
Well, I know there's already been like a couple of opinion pieces written in the New York Rags about Belichick going to the Giants.
It comes up every time. Yeah. I don't blame him. I dream about that too. But to me, that's wouldn't be smart for the Patriots. You know, Bill's got more good football left than Brady does. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just a simple calculus. I mean, just because he's... For obvious reasons, you know.
Bill's still sound of mind.
Yes, I mean, it's just he's a 67-year-old coach is a better bet than a 43-year-old quarterback, period. Story over. And so that's why I think they'd be smart to let Brady go to keep Bill. And if it's an either or, to me, the decision at this point is easy. It was harder back in the Garoppolo years, and they got that one right, you know. But now I think it's sort of an easy call if it's an either or. We've got John in the car. Go, John.
Hey, how you doing? I think I lost my train of thought. I think Brady, it's not going to be about money for Tom Brady. I think that Tom wants to show everybody that this year was an anomaly, and I think that the only way that he comes back to the Patriots is if they give him some talent. If all of a sudden, and you said earlier, Mike, that that you think the decision's already been made. I don't think it's been made. I think if in the off season they go over to Brady and say, hey, we're going to give you $15 million for 1 year, but we spoke to Robert, Antonio Brown's coming back, we get Gronk, he's coming back, and we're making a trade for Odell. Now, obviously, those things aren't going to happen, but if you surround him with that type of talent where he knows that he can have an MVP-type potential year, he'll be back.
All right. I have to cut you off because we're running late.
Maybe if the incentives were talent, you know, and it's not like reach this.
I was just going to ask you, what would you rather have? $35 million guaranteed with the current roster or $15 million guaranteed but Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski back?
Oh, the latter, without question.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Another crappy, below market, we don't respect you contract.
Yeah, but he...
But giving you better teammates.
But you have better teammates that he can trust. I think he would be much more comfortable and happy. I don't think it comes down to money for him as much as it's the years. The years are the more important thing. Like
it's always about the money. It's always about the money.
The commitment, I think, is the more important thing to him at this point.
Do you think he was hacked off about the contract last offseason?
Yeah, because it didn't include years, guaranteed years. It wasn't so much about the money. It's the commitment. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think they're sort of equal. I think it's just... It's always about the money, even for people that don't need it. It seems like, especially for people who don't need it, it becomes even more important.
Money equals respect.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, how many times have we been through this with all these different guys? As Mo Vaughn once famously said to Jimmy Stewart behind the glass with Dale Arnold, it's always about the money, Dale. What was
it doesn't
like?
Matter about the money, Dale.
It doesn't matter. Lie. Of course it's about the money. It's always about the money. And I think it's just like Brady somehow is not human and doesn't care about that. Like, I think that's silly. I think it's a piece to it. I think that if they gave him a huge financial contractual commitment, he'd come back and they'd figure out the weapons later, and he'd be, to me, the contract comes first. It's just my personal opinion. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks.
and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy, make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
How's the confidence right now? Is it okay?
How's the confidence in what in particular?
Just moving forward. Just you guys have confidence that you get the job done Saturday night? You feel good about things?
Well, I think we always feel like we have a great plan. And I feel like we're going to go try to execute the plan best we possibly can. So that's been no different than what's been all year. I don't think we go into any games going, man, I really hate what we're doing. I really do love what we're doing, trying to attack them the right way and go out there and score enough points to win.
More Brady from yesterday. If you think he's coming back, if you think the next loss is not his last game, tell me how. Tell me how it happens. How does it happen? Does Kraft step up and give him a big contract? Does Belichick relent and say, yep, go ahead, pay him? Does Brady do what he's always done in the past, just take another crappy deal at the last moment and just give in and stay? And stay under the current conditions, which is, young receivers, new receivers, not his kind of offense, not being paid well, not committed, but not no commitment from the team. Does Brady accept the current conditions?
No,
is what I'm trying to say.
I can't see any way that he would.
Okay, so like that's what I
draft for more talent. What are we doing at tight end? How many players are we going to lose defensively? You know what I mean? There's going to be a big upheaval here this offseason outside of the quarterback.
But unless something materially changes, that is, suddenly all of a sudden they start paying him, or the nature of the team changes. Why would he come back? I don't think he enjoyed himself this year on any level. So why would he repack his bags if there are new receivers, young receivers, guys that he has to work with, guys that he doesn't really believe in that he has to work with, and the team's not paying him, and the coach is still looking to win with another guy? Like, why would Brady come back for any of that? Why would he do that again?
No, I don't think that he would.
So is the team going to change that? Is the team suddenly going to pay him? Is the team suddenly going to surround him? Are they going to bring Antonio Brown back? Or are they going to make some sort of move like that? They're going to bring in Odell Beckham? I don't know. I think that'd be stupid.
No, it doesn't feel that way. And if any of that's going to change from the business standpoint, I think Robert Kraft is the biggest factor here. Because if it's up to Bill, I think Bill's ready to move on. I think that's blatantly apparent.
So, I think, the dual arrows have been pointing in this direction for a while. And unless they change, why would his status change? And so, if you think he's coming back, tell me what's changing. What's changing? Because I think this is the course. But we continue with your thoughts. It is agenda free. Justin in Worcester. Hi, Justin.
Yeah, hi. Just two quick things. I agree with you guys on the thing with Brady. It's either you pay him a lot of money or you get him weapons. Otherwise, he's not coming back. But my thing was, I feel like when Bill didn't call any timeouts in that game-winning drive, it was him saying he wanted to win with his defense or they wasn't going to win that game at all. I want to hear what you think.
Okay, I just thought it was an atrocious decision, to let that clock bleed down at the end of the second quarter, and a really bad read of the game. Because the only legit reason to do it is that you're playing so bad on offense that you just want to get out of there. You feel lucky to be at 10-10 and you just want to get the hell out of there.
But that wasn't the case, because even though it did look wonky in that first half, they had scored in their last two drives.
They had scored on their previous two possessions, and their defense had stuffed the Bills on their previous two possessions. You had taken control of the game. Not on the board, it was 10-10, but in the flow of the game up and down the field,
yeah, momentum-wise,
you had just gotten to even on the board and really had taken control of the game. And Bill just conceded the final 2 minutes with all those timeouts at home against the freaking Dolphins. A brutal decision.
To look at the potential of a wraparound score there with three timeouts with 1:47 on the clock and say, yeah, we're good. I've never seen anything like it.
Okay, so is it so bad that there was some sort of ulterior motive? Like the Malcolm Butler thing, there was an off-field component to it, we believe, or was there an off-field component to this? I'll show Brady. Brady looks so bad, I want everyone to know it. You know, that interception was such a killer, and I have such lack of faith in that side of the ball because of Brady, and I'm going to let everyone see it. We're going to bleed the ball here and get into the locker room as opposed to going for points. I
refuse to believe
that. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe that. I think that Bill would, you know.
I think it was more fear-based because he looked at that pick six and didn't trust Brady, so it wasn't out of spite and screw you.
He overreacted to the first quarter and a half of that game.
Yeah.
As opposed to assessing this last half of the second quarter, which the Patriots dominated, frankly. The Patriots had dominated the second part of the second quarter, but Bill, I think, put more stock into the first part of that half and said, let's just get out of here. And it was bad call. But I
you got to try for three there.
I hate to ascribe anything else to it. Malcolm Butler, I'll still ascribe something to. And I think he bit his nose to spite his face, as they say, in that Super Bowl. I refuse to believe that happened in this case. Sharon in Long Meadow. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi. I had the same idea about Charlie Weiss. So my second thing would be, what about Sony Michel? Could we get somebody to replace him next year?
He's been good the last couple of weeks, don't you think, Sharon?
Well, that's the last couple of weeks, but he needs a Zamboni to drive through to get him into the line.
Atta girl, good call.
She is right. Landon Roberts has been a factor in Sony Michel looking better the last few weeks.
Just like, what's his face, Devlin last year.
Yeah, James Devlin.
He needs a Zamboni. He needs a caddy. He needs a personal plow in front of him to do anything. I mean, I don't think he's anything special, but, you know, you're playing him rookie dollars, you bring him back. You don't need to. I don't think you need an upgrade from Sony Michel.
No, next year I would actually like to see Damian Harris play a little bit.
So let's see what. So you have replacements.
We have another young running back.
I'm not spending any more money or any more draft capital at that position. You're fine there. Matt in Malden. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, the prediction that nobody's willing to make. Brady's got a ton of compete, and he doesn't want to go out on a first-round loss, but his elbow is crazy fragile. He's going to blow out his elbow in the first half. Stidham's going to finish the game. He's going to need surgery, and that's how the Brady era ends. He's not going to sign anywhere because he's going to end his career. He needs surgery on his elbow.
Okay, well, there's a prediction. He doesn't want to end with a first-round loss. You just can't engineer it that way. Like I think people have this in their mind. This goes back to this, you know, if he wins, he'll walk away because he goes out on top. But if he loses, he'll come back because he'll want to atone for this year. Like, I just don't think it works that way. You don't get to pick your ending. Yeah, 99.999% of the guys don't get to predict their ending. Almost all of them, it's the decision's made for them by the league, and no one wants to pay them anymore, and so they retire. And for the very, very few that do get to choose, they don't get to pick the ending. It's only luck if John Elway or Peyton Manning end up on a winner and end up on top.
Yeah, no matter what happened in that Super Bowl between the Broncos and the Panthers now 5-6 years ago, Manning wasn't coming back.
Peyton was done. Elway was done. It was already decided. And it's a nice storybook little thing. But for the most part, you know, Brett Favre went out on a stretcher. The elbow got too much with him. Because
frankly, for the way that this has looked this year for Brady and this team, and granted, they still ended up with 13 wins, but I don't know. If I was him and the way it's turned out, I would have retired last year after the Super Bowl. That's the storybook ending.
So you just don't get to pick it, and I don't think Brady gets to pick it. I think the decision's already made, whatever it happens to be. We continue with your thoughts and your wonderful phone calls here on an agenda-free Friday. Here comes McTakey with a 90-second update. There are no commercials.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.